Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two of Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and thanks for joining us here. Wow, it feels good that it's close to the weekend. It always feels just a little bit better when you're there, doesn't it? Happy to be there with you today. And we keep things a little bit more flexible on the weekends, too. So if there's anything you want to bring up, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Almost anything you want to bring up. We had someone that wanted to talk about moving the Browns to San Antonio or something like that. Ooh, wrong show. Yeesh, wrong show. I have a tech expert, Michael Dougherty, who's going to talk about the Google testimony in Congress this week. I'm not buying what Google is selling. Are you? I don't think you should either. Is he? I mean, that's probably a better question. And meteorologist Dave Bowers from AccuWeather, looking in a couple of weeks when we're opening up presents in the KFC log is burning inside the fireplace and all the kids are opening up and looking through their stockings and eating the candy and the hot chocolate and all the families together. Will there be snow on the ground? Well, there's a story at KMOX.com. I wanted to talk to a meteorologist about the actual odds of that happening. It's all not that great. You see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame finally making their announcement. Who will be in 2019?
What Janet Jackson has done lately is join her brother in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Hard Rockers Def Leppard led the fan vote. Also in the class of 2019, Radiohead, The Cure, Roxy Music, and The Zombies. And a second induction for Stevie Nicks. She's in the hall already as a member of Fleetwood Mac. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
All right, so here again, if you missed those names, Janet Jackson, because we all know when we think rock and roll, we think Janet Jackson. Why do fans think she was unfairly shut out from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I don't get that. Does anyone think, when you think of rock and roll, who are the first bands that come to mind? You're like, oh, Rolling Stones, The Beatles, even Def Leppard comes long before a Janet Jackson, I think. Stevie Nicks is in there. You got to put Stevie Nicks in. Just like the Wide Winger sings a song, sounds like she's singing. Said, ooh, baby, ooh, said, ooh, but I went today. Oh, wow. Well, I think Stevie Nicks is deserve to get in there. She had a couple of big hits outside of the whole Fleetwood Mac deal. Let's see. Stop Dragging My Heart Around with Tom Petty. That's right. Stop Dragging My Heart Around. Edge of 17. I think that was Edge of 17. Stand Back. Oh, yeah. I Will Run to You. I didn't know she did that one. Who else is in there? Def Leppard, of course. Now, that is a classic. I mean, you can't get out of any classic rock station without a Def Leppard playing. Everyone goes crazy for Def Leppard. I'm surprised it took them that long. You know, the photograph, and pretty much everyone had a Def Leppard shirt in their closet back when they were popular. If you listen to that sort of music, Def Leppard was it, man. And, of course, their one-armed drummer. Is it one-armed drummer? Yeah, he lost an arm, and he has these special foot pedals to make up for it. That's cool. That's a good story. Well, not good for him, but it's a good story to tell. Radiohead's in there. They had a couple of different hits. They were a little softer, but I definitely see them more as rock and roll than a Janet Jackson. I'm a creep. What the hell am I doing here? Yeah, I see them much more equipped for a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The Cure. Thursday, I don't care about you, it's Friday. Oh, Friday I'm in Love. That'd be a good one, too. Too bad we play Rebecca Black on this show. Don't you dare take away Rebecca Black and switch it with The Cure. Roxy Music, I don't know what they've done. So they were in the 70s. Love is a Drug, More Than This. See, I don't know them all that well. Now, the Zombies, I'm surprised it took them that long to get in there. She's not there. She's not there.
It's the time of the season for love.
Oh, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. You know, they were pretty popular. Why did it take them so long? They were from the 60s. Sometimes there's bands that just take forever. Like Alice Cooper took forever to get into something like that. Mike calling in. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Anyway, I was trying to say this real fast. I was talking about, you know, you talk about Christmas moments and gifts and stuff, and I was trying to say this real fast, and I was telling them, and I thought it was pretty interesting if they would think about it. It was just in fun, like Christmas. If you had a choice, you know, out of these three gifts, what would you pick? Mm-hmm. You know, like pick and choose. And one, I would love to have a self-driving car, a banjo, or walkie-talkies.
Okay, so there's some price differences between those three things, between a walkie-talkie and a self-driving car.
Yeah, that's true, or all three. And the thing I wanted to tell you about a embarrassing moment, I was trying to say this real fast and fun. The embarrassing moment I had when I was younger, when my parents was alive, I wanted these microscopes that you could see things. Mm-hmm. And I said Christmas didn't matter when I was a little kid. So when it came one Christmas, I didn't see no microscope, and I cried and everything. And then later, my parents brought it out, and guess what? They said I never played with it.
What, you had it, but you never played with it?
Right, when I was a little kid.
My.
If you let me tell you one last, and I didn't say this, but let me tell you one last thing for fun. If you ever go on YouTube, I've seen this gospel song called Bad Gospel Song. It's
You keep talking about these things. I'm going to have to look them up sometime. Yeah, I know. Thank you, Mike, for the call. Yeah, I know. You bring these things up. That's funny. Of course you buy gifts for your kids. Your kids are cycling through toys like crazy anymore. They don't remember all the toys they've had. No, they forget about these things. They sit on the shelf, and you wonder, why did they play with the box longer than they played with the gift itself? Bill calling in. Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Hey, how are you? I can't... Every year this time, I get angry because I see all the new nominees or the new admissions to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and how can they keep passing by the Doobie Brothers and Three Dog Night?
Are the Doobie Brothers still not in?
No, they're still not in, and they got some great albums. They're still selling out arenas. It's a Jan Winter, one of the heads of Rolling Stone. He's one of the guys who's the president or CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He's an avant-garde kind of guy. He's like Nine Inch Nails and all these bands that have one or two albums, and they still couldn't sell a 10,000-seat theater out.
Yeah.
And still no Doobie Brothers, still no Three Dog Night.
Wow. Yeah, it's so political. It's so political. I'm looking at a list right now. Let me go through a couple of these, and you give me your impressions of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame snubs. Warren Zevon's not in it yet? That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Let's see. Depeche Mode, Nick Drake, Iron Maiden's out. Pat Benatar. Come on. Why would Janet Jackson get in before Pat Benatar?
I don't know why a lot of them are in. I used to manage Mississippi River Festival. I was site manager a long time ago, and I mean, I've seen a lot of shows, worked a lot of shows. I was road crew back in the early 70s with some bands, and it amazes me how some of these bands have one, maybe two hits. Three, maybe four albums, and you get other groups. Chicago just made it in a couple years ago. Hall & Oates just made it in a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And, just fantastic live performers. And they get these groups in there, and I don't know who submits the names, but
yeah,
I've been working to get Doobie Brothers and Three Dog Night in for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and nobody listens. I don't know how you start the petition or what, but it's just ridiculous who's in there.
Yeah, it's so political, Bill. It's such a shame.
Is Elvis Presley really rock and roll?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, how about I forget all the names who don't even approach rock and roll. Janet Jackson's one of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
they always put one that is like, it feels like a joke. Like, why did they put that one in there? Wasn't it LL Cool J last year too? Like, why? Why? That doesn't make sense. No one thinks of them as rock music. All right, Bill, good to hear from you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I don't really listen to music much anymore. I'm not really that invested into it, but still, that is ridiculous. All right, what about a CEO of Google testifying in front of Congress this week? Michael Dougherty is someone that was there in the building. He did not hear the yelling and the screaming going on because in the hallways you had an Alex Jones causing a scene. But I wanted to get his take. Are you buying what Google is selling? I'm not. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Overnight America and Ryan Recker continues on KMOX.
Mike Dougherty is the CEO of the Cyber Education Foundation, founder of the Justice Society, author of The Devil Inside the Beltway. Thanks for coming on to KMOX.
Good to be here, my friend. How are you?
Good. So when Google testifies in front of Congress, are you glued to a television?
No, actually, you know, I was on the Hill. I was in the building.
Wow. How about that?
And I was in a different hearing. I wasn't testifying. So, you know, I'm pretty jaded about these hearings.
Yeah.
I know there's theater. The congressmen are only given 5 minutes. It's an opportunity for each side to take swipes at each other. Mm-hmm. The media is only going to is sitting there not to report anything. They're there to look for a gotcha moment. No one takes it seriously on the inside. It's like this is just theater where we get to get our face on TV in our local districts or whatever, or we get to spin it. And with this, I wasn't disappointed because I think he wasn't so forthcoming. I think he was very evasive about various topics, mm-hmm. and I think he wasn't apologetic, and he was like a hostile witness, you know, in a trial. That doesn't mean rude.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but evasive, you know, I mean, you know, Jim Jordan hits him with exact examples, and, you know, this is the game. You hit them with exact examples about something very serious,
mm-hmm.
and then the left screams that you're not being nice.
No, I know.
Because it's a constant, it doesn't matter what the contrarian view is. It's just a game of contrarian views. And that's the hard part about Congress, because you've got the Democrats that are never going to hold anyone accountable, and you've got the news that's going to not hold anyone accountable.
So you were there. Did you hear any Alex Jones screaming in the hallways?
No, that was really funny, too. I saw that. I was like, oh, I didn't know he was there. No, I didn't see him anywhere. I mean, they love those headlines. It's like everyone's sitting around in Washington looking for Alex Jones. I guarantee you that half the staffers would walk past him down the hall, at least, and not know who it was.
Well, some of the claims from Google CEO, he sits down and he says, you know, Google is this. It's almost like it's an organic living creature, that it's all hands off and they have no control or no adjustment of anything that happens in their search engine. I'm not buying it. I mean, I don't think many people are buying it.
It's ridiculous. I'm like, I would hope they wouldn't be so loose with everything, quite frankly. It can add up. It could do some bad damage. But they're data brokers, and they didn't know, nor did we know, what it was going to morph into. And certainly when we checked on the box, you know, that we know they were going to come at us. And they're making tons of money off this, tons, and a lot of power. And politicians are harnessing a lot of that power. So especially the Democrats that live with fear, uncertainty, and doubt and love to get to, you know, the Democrats love, you know, the disillusioned, the inexperienced, the low life experience. That's who they bank on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the cool. And this is a really powerful weapon, mm-hmm. and it's tough. So the problem is that all of this technology is not defended very well, and it's making us very vulnerable because it transcends our borders.
Yeah.
And Google is not a state company or based in the United States or an international firm, and you know they cut deals for business elsewhere. It is not a safe space, folks, for all your data.
Yeah, and I will say a couple things with Google. When they talk about manipulating search engine results, they have the top two search engines with Google.com and YouTube.com number two. And we know they are kicking people off of YouTube, so we know they can absolutely manipulate a search engine if they wanted to. Plus, we know what they did over in Europe when it came to their shopping section, when it came to what you can purchase. There was a whole buying tab on Google.com, and they were manipulating the search results for their own products and things they were using, get a giant fine over there for doing something like that. So they have the ability to. I think they have the motive to as well. They're a company that supports certain causes and politicians. So it's not, to me, if he's going up there and saying it's impossible for us to do this, I'm just not buying it. I think they have all the means to do it. And I don't know. I don't know why he would go out there and try to claim otherwise. That doesn't make sense.
Because he's not going to say what the truth is.
Yeah.
And people don't pay attention. He knows. Here's what happens. People don't go to the granular. They stay up at the high. So he's not going to admit anything. Then they're going to create a sideshow with some sort of fight. The media is going to turn to that. The media, there's no investigative journalists anymore, folks. They're just sports announcers. So there's no behind the scenes. They just go, he hit left, he hit right. He hit left, he hit right. And then what you have is this fight instead of trying to figure out what's going on in the country.
Yeah.
And the Democrats eat that up, too. So, you know, we have to understand that we have very, very poor and very few true defenders of this country in Congress right now. And it's dangerous because it lets people like Google way off the hook.
Mike Doherty joining us here on Overnight America KMOX. There is one thing he said that I actually kind of agreed with him on when he was talking about how they let some Russian buys slip through. And I'm like, they make about $1 billion a year. If $4,500 goes under the radar, I can understand that. You know, and then they change their practices to try to adjust for political ad buying or whatever banner ad buying. That's probably the only thing I bought that came out of his mouth during that whole testimony.
Yeah, but give me a break.
No.
You know, like, I'm like, oh, really? How did you find that out? You know, are you watching or you're not? That's pretty fine, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. So,
well, what happens next for a company like Google? I think they're worried that there's going to be more government regulation here in the United States when it comes to these big tech companies. Or even...
They can afford it.
Yeah?
These big companies, well, like when Zuckerberg said, I don't mind regulation. I mean, and doesn't that sound wonderful? You want to know why? He can afford it. And you know what else it does? It kills the little guy.
Yeah.
So when you're already the big giant, isn't it great to write a check so you have less little guys competing with you? Sure. You know, and so it's, and it's really easy to fool everyone. And they sound so nice.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of people that vote for whoever the nicest sounding person is. You know, it's like, can I say, you know what, you want to pick a surgeon that's really good hands, not really good personality.
Yeah.
Oh, he was such a nice man, even though he took out the wrong body part. I mean, that's the thing. Don't go picking people because they're nice, or voting people because they're nice.
Yeah.
Way too serious.
So what happens if, let's say, a company comes forward and says, you know, we might try to censor certain people. You have that congressman, is it Lou in California, that said, who basically comes out and says, you know, I wouldn't mind if we were to start censoring speech, but we got this thing called the First Amendment, so I guess I can't do that. You know, but he's encouraging these big tech companies, and these are the politicians that are on these tech company sides that are saying, I can't do it because of the First Amendment. The government can't do it, so why don't you just be the person?
Here's the game. All that guy does, all a congressman does all day long, he's got a 2-year term as fundraise.
Mm-hmm.
You think they can't score a big check from those guys in California? Give me a break. So the Democratic team is like, go Google, go Facebook, California. You think any California is the land of the echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get it. So that guy is a politician, is never going to say anything else but. And he's not going to be held accountable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, hey, it's sunny and nice over there, and we've got the tech companies. So, you know, we're great.
So what happens in 2019? Do you predict any crazy things when it comes to the tech world?
Well, I actually think that things are just going to keep getting worse. I think we're going to have more breaches, and we're going to have more, and we're going to have Congress more laying down the job. And I don't think Trump has done any great work on technology, because he exploited it better than they did, and that sent them insane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everyone's between a rock and a hard place. And sadly, I don't think what we need, which is true, talented, innovative cybersecurity defense going on in collaboration with people with power.
Yeah. And then there was another report that came out. What was it? 80 to 90% of all espionage electronic coming from China or something. And we're still trying to renegotiate with China. That was part of the deal with President Trump. If anything, he did recognize that there were some pretty big problems coming out of that country when it came to some of the hacking that was going on worldwide and patents and intellectual property getting stolen. So maybe there could be something there. Try to slow down some of this outside tech stealing.
Well, that's true, but you've got the whole left still screaming Russia, 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 because they can't get past 2016. And they're stupid, because then he goes and does that. I mean, they're exhausted screaming Russia, 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 which is a half-truth at best. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to attack him while he goes around doing what he wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, and they, it's just, I just pray every day the American public is not as dumb. They elected them once. I mean, it's just that what you're seeing is a gargantuan temper tantrum from a very entrenched establishment all over the country and in industry and big law that's had their way for 80 years, not 80.
Yeah.
And they don't want that punch bowl pulled away, and they're going to scream and throw a massive temper tantrum, and they'll say anything.
Yeah.
Don't be taken in, but they'll try to wear you down.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Dougherty, if people want to find out the work you're doing or maybe check out your book, where can they get that?
Well, it's a great Christmas gift, The Devil Inside the Beltway, at Amazon, an audiobook, ebook, hardcover, and softcover. It's written like a novel about how government investigation really works. Most people get really angry and shocked by it. And the website's thedevilinsidethebeltway.com, and you can download the first chapter there, a PDF. So.
Here's a great idea. Everyone getting these e-readers and things for Christmas, you open it up early, you download this book on the e-reader so it's ready for the person. Look it up, The Devil Inside the Beltway. It's important to know what's going on when it comes to these
and I think the Kindle's got it on sale for $5.99, so go.
Perfect. That's a great way. Load it up. Get it so there's something worth reading on the thing when they open it up.
That's right.
CEO of the Cyber Education Foundation, founder of the Justice Society, Mike Dougherty, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Hey, great talking to you. Take care. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. He joins us on the Quiver River electric guest line. What do you think about that? Are you buying what Google's selling? I'm not. I don't think they're being honest with their testimony. I think they definitely have things they want to hide. I'm sure for their own company's sake, there's secrets they want to hide. But why do they got to go out and approach the topic this way as if they're so innocent and they're not doing the things they're doing? I think there's a big difference between saying, you know, there's a reason why we do it, but it's, you know, our property and our reason for doing it or whatever it is. But if you go out and say the opposite, oh yeah, we'd never do that. No, it's, I don't buy that. I don't think you should either. We're going to talk some tech coming up. And the search engine CEO, DuckDuckGo, he's the CEO of the search engine. He has some things to say about Google. I want to get to that coming up. Overnight America, KMOX. Let's go
Blues! Hey, Blues fans, Joey Vitale here. Friday night, the Blues host the Colorado Avalanche in a rematch from 2 weeks ago of the great overtime win from the Blues in Colorado. Don't miss any of the action from Enterprise Center. The pregame show is at 6:30 and the faceoff at 7 right here on your home for Blues hockey, KMOX. Let's go!
Oh, welcome back. There we go. Overnight America continues. There was the interview we just had with Michael Dougherty. I would be skeptical, too, and I very much am outside of the super tech community. It's, you know, if you were to hand me a laptop that's not working and saying, hey, can you open this up and check the circuits on this and see if the pins are bent on this? I wouldn't be able to do that. If someone said, you need to sweep this room because we think there's bugs in here, I would have no idea what to look for if there was like listening devices. I'm not in that type of world, but I do pay attention to some of the tech trends that are out there. And for Google to underplay the things they're capable of doing and then try to say they're, no, we would never do something like that when they've been caught and fined billions of dollars in Europe for doing something very similar. It shows that they have the ability to do it. So why wouldn't they do it here in the United States? Because, yeah, the exact same style of lawsuit that was brought against Google in Europe that led to their $2 billion or something like that dollar fine. It was a ton of money. Same thing tried to happen here in the United States, but the laws are different in the U.S., and they found out that they weren't persecuted for it, prosecuted. They couldn't be fined here for doing the exact same thing. So, hey, they have issues at Google, and we have issues when you start manipulating search results. Now, they're saying they don't do this. However, the CEO of a search engine called DuckDuckGo, if you don't know what DuckDuckGo is, It's a very popular search engine that is one that tries to make it so whatever you're searching for, it's anonymous. So they use other search engines, but they make it so whatever you're searching is anonymous. You may be thinking to yourself, why do I care? Well, if you don't want to be tracked, and it's not a, oh, you're doing something wrong, so why would you care if people see what you search for? Well, if you just don't like the idea of other people knowing your business, then you find these services like DuckDuckGo, and you use them in hopes to try to keep some sort of privacy for yourself. And in a world where nothing is private anymore, and everything is leaked, and everything is hacked, and all of this, the more you can do to protect yourself, the better. It's not a matter of what do you got to hide anymore. It's a, do you value your privacy? And the answer should be yes. So using services like DuckDuckGo are becoming common practice. And the CEO of this search engine company revealed its own references in the study that did their own experiments. So this is what they did. They found that participants saw vast differences in search results when researching the same keywords. For example, gun control or immigration. Both of those have some pretty big political notions to them. Gun control, of course, is a very heated debate. And same thing with immigration, heated debate. And what they found was by searching from different locations across the country, they were getting different results. Why is that important? Well, if you search it in Google and you live here versus there or there versus here, whatever it is, it may be trying to manipulate you knowing what your politics are in this area. And it may try to serve the purpose of, well, it's like, let's look here in St. Louis, for example. Let's say there's a big vote coming up and they want to try to raise minimum wage to $15 an hour like they did last year in the city of St. Louis. And they were talking about this and they're trying to do this big initiative. And eventually it got to the point where they said this should be more of a statewide initiative than a city initiative. But nonetheless, let's say there's a debate going on and they're talking about raising minimum wage in St. Louis. So Google, being that they are very sympathetic to a lot of liberal causes, decides, okay, whenever someone Google searches minimum wage in St. Louis, Missouri, we're going to bolster the search results that show very positive studies, very positive results. And then we're going to hide the ones that aren't so complimentary to them, where it shows the other side, the other part of the argument. And, you know, we'll put one up high and we'll put one down low. And when you go to other parts of the city, like let's say California or whatever, and there's already this high minimum wage in Seattle or whatever it is, they might manipulate it in different ways. As in, you're not going to see the exact same results as if you're doing it here in St. Louis, because they already have it. If they are manipulating search results that way, that is a big red flag for a couple of different reasons. You want to talk about campaign finances, and everyone that keeps bringing this up about Donald Trump, what about the amount of campaign contributions that Google as a giant search engine is giving to some of these politicians where they're bolstering their search result in order to get them more favorable or more publicity? You don't think there's a value in that sort of thing? I think there's a huge value in that sort of thing. What about social media platforms with Facebook or Twitter? What if they only amplify the stories that are complimentary to the politicians they like, and the ones that aren't, maybe people are posting negative stories about them from blogs or news websites? What if they hide those things so not as many people see them? Because, hey, they like the person, they contribute to the person, they're sympathetic to their causes. Who knows? Maybe next time they're testifying on Congress, that senator will throw them a bone and make them look good or whatever it is. So they try to bolster those type of people, but whenever there's a criticism, hide it. That's a major concern. You should be concerned, because that's their way of manipulating the news. And that could be another way of looking at fake news. If they're purposely, and I think they can, and I think they are, manipulating search results that way, they are trying to manipulate the narrative in the United States. They're trying to force the hand. And just like any other news network that has their own bias, they have their own bias too. I don't think they're pure as snow when it comes to this. And when the DuckDuckGo CEO comes out and points out that from different locations, different search results come in, this is what they say. The study controlled for other potential factors of personalization by having its participants log out of their Google accounts and search from incognito mode, aka what's supposed to be the private mode from Google. It says, what our study does reveal, or at least suggest, is that Google's collection and use of personal data, including location, which is then used to filter specific search results, is having an effect akin to the effect of political bias. So even when they say, oh, no, you can turn off all of this, you can be anonymous when you do all these things, a CEO of a company that actually makes things anonymous comes out and says, that's not how these things work. In fact, when we've done it ourselves and we've done our own, because we know you can say you're anonymous, but still there could be different results coming up. Like, for example, it says, if you live in this zip code, we're going to show you the NRA. But if you live in a different zip code, we're not going to show you the NRA. And their results were consistent, depending on where they were searching and what they were trying to find. Google spokesperson denied the results. The DuckDuckGo CEO anticipated the rebuttal, and that's why his team collected for both time and location in their research, and he argues the findings were far from trivial. And I tend to agree with him, and I don't think he's wrong. I pay a lot of attention to how these privacies play out with these tech companies. And there's a lot. There is major, major concern with how they play these things out. That's why I'm a big proponent of net neutrality. It's something that the Republicans hate. But I look at the way these social media platforms manipulate these, and I don't like the idea that your service provider, the people you pay for your internet, could have the same ability and the same impact on you. Thus, there's protections needed to make sure the internet is an equal playing field. So when you do search something, they don't block it from where you are, or you may be thinking how that could happen, but that's a whole different story. But either way, these politicians that go in there and they just kind of bolster up the Googles, don't buy it. I just don't buy what they're selling. I don't think you should either. And then when you have a Democrat representative, Lou, oh my goodness. So let me play this clip here real quick. Ted Lieu, congressman, was on CNN. And listen to how he answers this question. Tell me if this is not a little concerning.
Have you thought that maybe you and other Democrats have missed opportunities to use your time to press Google CEO at a time when these large tech companies are struggling to manage content, perpetuating conspiracy theories? They're so vulnerable to outside interference. Isn't that a focus that could have been a missed opportunity?
It's a weird way to set that question up. It's a terribly structured sentence, but I think any Republican that would have been sitting right there, the ones that went hard on Google's CEO, like Jim Jordan, for example, a congressman, he did a great job bringing up examples. He's out of Ohio. I've met Jim Jordan. He's a good guy. Now, when you are critical of it, but then you come in and say conspiracy theorists and conspiracy theories and things like that they bring up, now, all of a sudden, the question is trying to shift towards the content of the things that are on the internet. So how would you like it if your internet service provider or whoever you play around with when it comes to your social media, Facebook or Twitter, are the ones that are the arbitrator of what your content should be too? As in, they're the ones that dictate what's fake news or not. They're the ones that dictate what a conspiracy theory is or not. They're the ones that dictate these things. And if you disagree with their assessment on the things that you're talking about, let it be political or religious, maybe they don't like the idea of you talking about your religious beliefs in such certainty that it would, you can say, I don't believe this or I don't believe that. I think this is wrong. And then other people get offended because, you know, they're a different religion. Who's to say they don't look at that as something and saying, well, we're going to ban that too. We're the ones that are the arbitrator of what you can and cannot say. And here's how Ted Lieu puts that. You know, there's something very special when it comes to free speech. There's a reason why it's right up top in the First Amendment.
So it's a very good point you make. I would love if I could have more than 5 minutes to question witnesses. Unfortunately, I don't get that opportunity. However, I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. The First Amendment prevents me from doing so. And that's simply a function of the First Amendment. But I think over the long run.
No, it is a function of the First Amendment. It's a good thing it's in place. You want to know why people want to strongly cling to the Constitution? It's because congressmen like Ted Lieu, if they had their way, would be stripping things like that out of it. Other countries do it. You see it in Canada. You see it over in Europe. Free speech is not important. Protections of religion are not important. They say, you know, we're the ones that put the panels together. We're the ones that can dictate these sort of things for you because you can't be trusted with free speech. So Congressman Ted Lieu, shame on you, man. You're supposed to be representing the people. You're not upholding the Constitution with that sort of opinion of things. Shame on you. And for you to go out there and say, I am the one that dictates what you're allowed to say or think or feel, or let's also look at freedom of religion when it comes to the First Amendment. How about, would you also say I'm the one that gets to dictate the things you worship? Because, hey, it's got to be approved by the government first. Thank goodness we live in America where we don't have to worry about congressmen like Ted Lieu trying to flip over some of those protections. Shame on him, seriously. All right, this is Overnight America, KMOX.
Ryan Recker, Overnight America, the two best things in your night on KMOX.
Joining us now from AccuWeather, meteorologist Dave Bowers. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Well, it's good to be here, Ryan.
Everyone wonders if we're going to get maybe just a little bit of snow on Christmas morning. Last year here in St. Louis, we did get just enough snow to make it really pretty and to satisfy all the family's fantasies. They want to be able to wake up, open presents, and it's white outside. What's it looking like this year in the region?
At the moment, the patterns, in the days leading up to Christmas Day, it does look like there's at least going to be some shots of colder air coming down into the mid-Mississippi Valley. At the moment, it doesn't advertise a storm that would be producing precipitation of any kind, let alone snow. Typically, the odds here are fairly long to get a white Christmas here. It's probably only around 20%. But at least the pattern does look like it's cold enough that if we can get some little disturbance to come along here, we've got a shot at it. Like I said, right now, one's not being advertised here in the long range.
Yeah, we've seen some really weird ups and downs as of late this season. I don't know if that's typical for this region, but some days it'll be in the 20s or 30s, but we've seen a couple of 50-degree temperatures strung in a row, and we're still kind of in the middle of that. This weekend we'll kind of be in the upper 40s. So temperature-wise, even if we get a cold blast, what are we looking at for Christmas?
Well, yeah, right now, I would say, like I said, the temperatures look like they'll probably be running a little bit below normal. And normal for Christmas Day is 40 in the afternoon, 25 at night. So we could be looking at, mid-30s, low to mid-30s for a high temperature and getting well down into the 20s at night. That's crystal ball is a little dusty at this distance here. We've still got quite a few days to go. But it does look like it's a little chillier than normal. But at the moment, it looks dry. But like I said, there's cold enough air around here that there's at least a possibility we could see a bit of snow.
You know, every time I look at the radar or some sort of mapping, it seems like St. Louis is right in a middle ground zone where it could either push up or down. It seems like we're smack dab in the middle when it comes to some of these pressure fronts. Is St. Louis special in that way, or am I just observing something that's not there?
Well, being right smack in the middle of the country here, and especially during the winter months, the jet stream often does cut right across the middle of the country. It's typically persistent cold weather when you're talking, Chicago and up toward the Canadian border, and it's a real struggle to get the cold air to hang around when. There, that's usually sitting across the northern tier states in the winter. This is often is a battleground December through February.
Yeah. What areas of the country do you think could see some snow Christmas this year?
Well, this year, as well as what average does, off of the Great Lakes, and into upstate New York, northern New England, simply because of the latitude and the presence of open water. All you need is some cold enough air blowing across that water, and you've got snow in the air. So there, it really is. The percentages are probably better than 75%. From Michigan, northern PA, New York State, and into northern New England.
I know a lot of people travel, so they always wonder where they're going, if there's going to be a storm waiting for them, or they're going to be driving through a storm or whatnot. What a weird year. So far, the end. Let's say we end the year out New Year's Eve. Do we have any ideas what that'll look like?
Now the crystal ball is getting real dusty.
I
really don't.
So that's more than 2 weeks out, really.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it does look like it's a pattern that could go back into a stormy one. It looks like, in other words, it looks like the jet stream wants to be a little higher, further north when you're talking about along the west coast, so which would mean stormy weather for like Oregon, Washington State, and up into British Columbia, and dry and warm down there in Southern California and Arizona. Yeah. But you know, what goes up must come down. You know, the jet stream can't be north everywhere. So it looks like it wants to take a dive through the middle of the country, and that could lead it into stormy weather from us over to the eastern seaboard. So while it can't time a storm this far out, it looks like a pattern that could be featuring a cold rain or some snow here toward the end of the month.
So you're saying when your projections on the computers end, you don't open up the Farmer's Almanac?
Actually, we have something to do with the Farmer's Almanac too. We actually help contribute to that forecast.
Really?
Here at AccuWeather. Yes, we do.
Oh, I had no idea for something like that. Wow. We can learn something new every day. AccuWeather contributes to the Farmer's Almanac. Dave Bowers from AccuWeather joining us here. He joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Another hour of Overnight America coming up. Did you see the article about we're just one earthquake away from ruining St. Louis? Ugh, great. One other thing we have to worry about. Plus, you know what it is? Almost midnight. Something special happens. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.